I'll leave it at that and give Hama Ann some time.
I think Mike covered very important aspects of this whole question. And I also provided us with good material to lead us for discussion. And I would try to be very short and very brief. And will not discuss those aspects of the, this war that Mike have already touched. In 2003, when the United States started the invasion of Iraq, we saw this huge anti-war movement around the world. Not only from the people of the world, but also the governments. Advanced industrial imperialist governments in Europe, also including the Canadian government under the Khrushchev, refused to join in the war on Iraq. But the war on Afghanistan, 2 years before that, which started actually on October 7th of 2001, was treated differently. And the mood of the time was summarized by a French newspaper, Le Monde, which is considered actually a left liberal paper. It said that we are all Americans. So the entire world was American at the time. And the hysteria, and what they said, that this whole, I mean, ideological madness for the war was such that those of us who are in the anti-war movement, I have just arrived in Canada and immediately I started participating in the anti-war movement. And we all had realized it was difficult at the time. BBC, CNN, and the major Western media were the megaphone of this imperialist war. We were being bombarded with countless ideological justification. It's for the liberation of Afghan women. It's going to bring democracy to the country. And I mean, the madness of the Taliban regime was being broadcasted, the suffering of Afghan people. And at the same time, the United States and its allies were being presented in the media as the liberators of Afghan people. So that was the difference between the two wars. And I think it has implications for what we are currently standing right now. And even now, the war in Afghanistan is being considered as the good war versus the bad war that is going on in Iraq. Canadian government is giving this thing to the Canadian public that the war in Afghanistan is somehow justified, but not the war in Iraq. That's why we didn't go there. So the so-called bad war in Iraq is being used as not going there and sending Canadian troops in Afghanistan. French is doing that, the Germans are doing that. So this entire, what they themselves are claiming to be the international community is well united on the question of Afghanistan and somehow is united again on the question of the war in Afghanistan. But if you right now stand up and look 7 years back, what have they achieved in the past, this past 7 years? Things have not gone quite well, either for the occupying powers or for the people of Afghanistan. Mike's presentation actually highlighted many aspects of it, and I'm not touching it. But in the past week, actually, I would remind most of us might have seen that in the media, two British officials actually leaked very important information. One was the British General Brigadier something, Brigadier Smith?
I can't remember his name.
Smith Carleton or Carlton Smith? I think his name is Brigadier Carleton Smith. He is the commander of the British Army in Afghanistan and said that the war in Afghanistan is unwinnable. Militarily, this war is unwinnable. They publicly admitted. At the same time, he was also, and the UK government went repeating the same thing with General Carlton Smith, had said that this war is militarily unwinnable, and they are not going to they're not going to defeat Taliban. They are admitting it. Not only that, the United Kingdom's ambassador in Kabul said even something more crazy. I mean, this actually they are being honest, but he said something crazy. He is saying that we cannot win the war in Afghanistan, but the solution for this war is what he is suggesting, an acceptable dictator to be coming to power in Afghanistan. Now this question of, sorry if I sit here, I apologize, let's make it a little informal. So this question of acceptable dictator is an interesting one. What is an acceptable dictator? Acceptable to whom is a question you should be asking. Taliban's dictatorial regime was of course not acceptable. Saddam Hussein's dictatorship was not acceptable. But at one time, that dictatorship was acceptable to the United States of America and to the West. So here the question of acceptability is not for the people of Afghanistan. the question of acceptability is for the Western imperialist powers who are engaged in there and who have their interests. And I think these are the things that we should be keeping in mind as the new American president is going to come into office. Now Barack Obama, who most likely would be the next president of the United States of America, he is of the opinion. The war in Iraq is the bad war, and the real front on the war on terrorism is Afghanistan. So they are going to send more troops to Afghanistan and escalate or intensify the magnitude of war in Afghanistan. But there is also a possibility, actually, that the United States also might change their tune, and they might also come to this enlightened conclusion of the British diplomat that an acceptable dictator is the way out of this whole mess. So now, not again acceptable to the people of Afghanistan, but should be acceptable to the imperialist powers. If you would, some of my Canadian friends are asking, why are we there? Well, by you, of course, they mean the Canadian troops. I think we should take a step back into the history to analyze why this whole war started to begin with. I think the key here is 1989, the collapse of the collapse of Soviet Union. So that is the year I think that we can keep the back of our minds and understand the current war in Afghanistan. With the collapse of Soviet Union, the arrangement of global politics that had come into being in 1945, after the defeat of Nazi Germany, that there was United States of America and the Soviet Union on the other hand. So there we had this inter-systemic rivalry, or some might call inter-imperialist rivalry, but that was the Cold War years, was defining the global politics until 1989. But 1989, Soviet Union is gone. Now we have only one superpower with huge army and huge resources, which is the United States of America. And some hawks within the ruling circle in the United States, they have reached this conclusion that we should use this opportunity of no more rivalry, no more Soviet Union. We should use this opportunity to enhance America's hegemony in the global system. And at the same time to enhance America's imperialist grip around the world. And they selected, they had their eyes on this region, Afghanistan and its neighboring countries, whom Michael Ignatieff, most probably the next prime minister in Canada, maybe the next liberal leader of the Liberal Party in Canada, calls Empire Center of Gravity. It is Michael Ignatieff saying it. And Lord Curzon in the 19th century was saying that Afghanistan and its neighboring countries are the different pieces of a chessboard on which we will play the great game of power. So the word great game is coming from being used by Lord Curzon for this region. So they had their eye on this region. That's well, Mike well mentioned that why this Afghanistan is such a strategically important country. And those hawks actually, and they produced a document called, as famous, someone in the audience might know, the name of the document, Project for New American Century. Yeah, the Project for New American Century. In this Project for New American Century, they have outlined their plan. Their plan was that United States will not allow any other country to compete with the US in the coming future. United States is the permanent boss of the world. We will not allow anyone. And we will even stop militarily any rival that would challenge the United States of America. So they printed that document, and those hawks actually came to power with the George Bush administration. And they were not very happy with the Clinton years. They thought that the Clinton was wasting time. The United States needs an aggressive policy to take advantage of this whole situation and be able to have key strategic positions around the world. And September 11 happened, the terrorist attack on that day was used as a justification actually to push for their new aggressive imperialist policy. So the war on Afghanistan was the first stage in the project for new American century. The second stage was, of course, the war on Iraq. And the war in Afghanistan was again being used as how they have actually liberated the people of Afghanistan, they have brought democracy, and Afghanistan is on the right track. So they went and invaded Iraq. After 7 years, I think Mike clearly outlined all the promises that were given about democracy, about women's rights, and all that. Actually, it should be reminding us of the imperialist wars of the old days. In the 19th century, when the imperialist powers were fighting in Africa to actually to take over Africa, also take over Asia. The logic was civilizing mission, actually. They were civilizing the savages. That was the ideological justification for war at the time. Because imperialism and colonialism cannot exist without an ideology to justify it. But at the time, it was civilizing mission, civilizing the savages, and bringing all the benefits of Western civilization to the rest of the world. But now the same kind of logic was being used for the project for New American Frenchmen. Tony Blair, actually, he was saying so much, I mean, he was using this whole two words repeated all the time. And when his face is standing in front of me, the right to intervene, a humanitarian intervention. So he was saying that some states might be failing, and they are failing. So there is where the West will intervene to protect again the savages from themselves. So this was the ideological justification for the war. Definitely, this was not about liberating Afghan women. It was not about bringing democracy in Afghanistan. As the British general is saying, that an acceptable solution might be an acceptable dictatorship in Afghanistan. In this past 7 years of nation building that they have brought about, they have put in place a government which is representing different political factions of the last 30 years of Afghanistan, the most corrupt elements of that society, but who are the most unprincipled elements of all the past three decades have all come under this puppet regime that is being headed by Hamid Karzai. And it's completely antagonistic to the interests of the common, ordinary Afghan people. It is so obvious what they are doing in Kabul. For example, they have not put, a brick on brick for building a school. They have not done anything for the people. Actually, on the other hand, restaurants are being built, bars are being built, lots of other businesses are being opened for a very tiny elite within Afghanistan who are benefiting from this occupation, and especially the international carpet makers. Lufthansa Airlines had their people in Afghanistan to work with Ariana Airline, and they were being paid in thousands of dollars a day. I think they were being paid, it was a humongously large amount of money, but how much was it? So these are this Eisenhower, I think, mentioned once about military-industrial complex, but we should also be talking about NGO-industrial complex. Whenever this kind of intervention happens, and there is this huge amount of carpet beggars who are jumping in to make huge sums of money very quickly in a very short amount of time. So that is what is going on in Afghanistan, and this tiny number of people from within Afghanistan, and especially the internationals, have benefited from these circumstances. What is to happen next is, I think, an important question I would end my talk with, and we will go to discussion. Today, if anyone go on the BBC website, especially the Persian section of it, there is talk of negotiations going on in Afghanistan. The talk is being led by the government of Saudi Arabia. Elements of the ex-Taliban government who are actually living in Kabul under Hamid Karzai's government, they had all flown to Saudi Arabia. 17 members of the Afghan government, led by Karzai's brother, was also in Saudi Arabia. Maulana is Tux from Pakistan, actually, this Islamic fundamentalist Tux, which I would call them. They were there. Ex-Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif was there. So they are deciding again the future of Afghanistan in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. These negotiations might not lead anywhere, but what is there is one possibility is very, very strong. If Obama wins the election, which most probably he will, but there is a difference, of course, between Obama and McCain. The war in Afghanistan is going to escalate astronomically. The situation is going to get very, very bad. This campaign of terror that we are seeing every month, actually, that they are bombing from the skies, wiping out villages and killing hundreds and hundreds of people. We don't see actually in the Western media. This is going to intensify. One of the reasons being, as I started my talk with, that there was a question, and there is a unity on the question of Afghanistan. The entire West is united. The governments, they are all united. And they think one thing, that if they were defeated in Afghanistan, this is not defeat of United States. The defeat in Iraq is the defeat of United States and Great Britain. But the defeat in Afghanistan, their defeat in Afghanistan, is the defeat of this is again words of Michael Ignited. He's saying this is again the old Christian civilized West. This is the defeat of the old Christian civilized West. So if they were defeated in Afghanistan, the entire theory of humanitarian intervention will be down the flush, I mean, they'll be flushed out. So that's, I think, they are going to hold on for a while. Canada might not be withdrawing until from 2011. If Harper wins this war, the Canada will stay longer. The Germans have already committed 1,000 more soldiers. But more soldiers from NATO countries and all the other allies is not going to solve the problem. This past 8 years, Hamid Karzai's government has the support of 36 countries, militarily actually. 36 countries are in Afghanistan helping the puppet government led by Hamid Karzai. And they control only 30% of Afghanistan with the help of 36 countries. The rest, Taliban can even manage to strike within the capital. Just a month ago, they strike right in the capital, Kabul. So that is the situation in there. So I think this war is going to escalate, unfortunately, in the coming while. What is to be done is, of course, it should be a question too. What could prevent a disaster from happening? Either the expansion of war beyond the borders of Afghanistan, which is also a disaster for the region, for the people of Afghanistan, and for the world, as a strong anti-war movement in these countries.